Writer Sue Grafton is the creator of Private Eye, Kinsey Milhone. Milhone is, quote, 32, twice married, no kids, and currently unattached and likely to remain so given my disposition, which is cautious at best. Grafton's first Milhone novel, A is for Alibi, was published in 1982. It was followed by B is for Burglar, C is for Corpse. She's worked her way up the alphabet to her newest, F is for Fugitive. The first Kinsey Milhone novel ended with her facing a moral crisis. She killed someone in self-defense. She says, "The shooting disturbs me still. It has moved me into the same camp with soldiers and maniacs. I never set out to kill anyone. I'll recover, of course. I'll be ready for business again in a week or two, but I'll never be the same."
What I am interested in doing, aside from the fact of the mystery itself, is talking about its effect on Kinsey Milhone. One of the things that always seemed true of me of mysteries in general is the prime character, the protagonist, seems not to be affected by the murder and mayhem. And I wanted to use Kinsey Milhone not only as a way of observing society, but showing her reaction and the changes it brings about in her own personality. So I think you'll see her grow and change because of the violence.
When you started writing detective fiction, were you self-conscious about being a woman and self-conscious about figuring out how to make this a more feminist crime series than a macho one?
No, I was self-conscious, but primarily because I was ill at ease with some of the technicalities of writing detective fiction. When I started A is for Alibi, I didn't even know what a private investigator did. So in the course of writing that book, I did a lot of reading on forensics and California criminal law, ballistics, auto and theft and burglary and that sort of thing. And I think my self-consciousness was the sense of not being qualified to do the writing. And one of the reasons I made Kinsey Milhone female is because I felt like that was an area in which I had a little expertise.
What other kinds of research did you have to do before you felt confident in writing a convincing crime story?
I learned to shoot a handgun. I took women's self-defense. All of the books take me down dark alleys. For instance, when I did See Us for Corpse, I went to visit two morgues so that I would know what that looked like. I did a ride along with the police in Santa Barbara one night, and that was a bit of an eye-opener because I tend to go to bed very early, and to see what goes on in that town after 10 o'clock was sort of astonishing.
Now, it's interesting. Your detective, Kinsey Milhone, has no family. Her parents were killed in a car accident when she was 5 years old. And I'd like to read something that she says in F is for Fugitive, your new book.
All right.
Now, in this scene, she's having dinner with a family. They're all pretty crazy in this family. And she says, "As a child, I didn't experience much in the way of family, and I usually find myself somewhat taken aback to see one at close range. The Donna Reed Show, this was not. People talk about dysfunctional families. I've never seen any other kind." You know, one of the things I always find interesting in most detective novels is that the character has kind of given up on the idea of family.
Mm.
They don't have any expectations for it.
Right. Well, I know Kinsey will never marry again. She will never have children. But part of that is because I think the tradition of the hard-boiled private eye is that of a loner, the sort of knight errant. And in part, I made those choices because in the writing of detective fiction, I didn't want to stop and deal with Aunt Maudie and Uncle Herman and everybody gathered around. So she has a sort of surrogate family in Henry Pitts and Rosie, the woman who owns the tavern in her neighborhood. But I didn't want to deal with family gatherings at Christmas time and that sort of thing. So it is a choice I made, and I feel it's the correct one in terms of the kind of book I'm writing.
When you started this series, how did you come up with the A is for Alibi? And did you think at the time that you would be committing yourself to a B, C, D, E, F, and so on?
It had been in the back of my mind to try a series based on something. So A is for Alibi came out of a personal situation of my own in which I was going through a very bitter divorce. And at the time, I was not very effectual as a fighter. I have since learned quite a lot about how to fight legal battles, but I used to lie awake at night and think of ways to kill the man. However, because I am such a law-abiding little bun, I knew I'd get caught at it. For one thing, I think the cops are very smart. I think people are foolish who imagine they can outwit the police. And I am the sort of person who does not even turn a library book in late. Also, if I get a parking ticket, I know they're discussing me down at the police station. And I don't, that makes me uncomfortable. So I decided that the next best thing would be to take the murder, put it in a book, and get paid for it. And in essence, I have launched an entire new career for myself out of mere homicidal rage.
Each of your books has an epilogue in which Kinsey Milhone files her report.
Yes.
And in the report is usually something of a summing up, but that she also always tells how much money she made.
Yeah.
And how much of an advance she was given and how much money she might have to give back when that's the case. But, yeah, she makes like $1,000, $2,000, maybe $3,000. It's so little money when you think of all she's put on the line to solve this case.
She keeps her monthly nut quite modest. And what I need to talk about in that is that she is a professional. She does work for money. Many of the male detectives simply work for the spirit of it, which I don't think is very realistic in this day and age. I see Kinsey as capable and competent, and I think she should be paid for what she does. On the other hand, I don't want her to have to take money if she doesn't feel right about a case. So I like to keep her liberated in that respect.
You know, we were talking earlier about being a woman writing crime fiction in which there's a woman detective. There's a group called Sisters in Crime, which is an organization of women who write crime novels. And from what I understand, you've decided not to join.
That's right. And I'll tell you some of my reasons. I'm so happy you asked me that. For starters, I don't think writing is gender related. And I prefer to keep the politics out of writing. I see us as one group. I see our problems as applying to all of us, whether we're male or female. I also don't think I need to join a group to show that I am pro-women. And I am, I suspect, too much of a rebel, and Kinsey is too much of a renegade to connect myself to any group. I'm tired of getting people's newsletters. You know, every time you join a group, they send you this crappy newsletter, and I just don't want to do that anymore. I want to keep the writing pure for that, you know?
Well, it's funny you should say that. A friend of mine who reads a lot of crime fiction always thinks it's very funny that any detective writer who spends their days and nights writing about loners would care to join an organization.
That's right. That's right.
But do you find, though, that your concerns as a woman writer are ever at odds with some of the men in the crime writing profession?
I don't. I have found the men in Mystery Writers of America some of the warmest, most supportive people. I don't like to get into the us against them mentality, and I don't, in truth, think that's what Sisters in Crime is saying. I don't think they're maintaining that it is the men in MWA who are the enemy. I think their concerns are related to reviewers and critics and publishers and that sort of thing. But to my way of thinking, the book business is about selling books. And it seems to me if you are a writer who earns money for a publisher, you will be treated well.
Was there a time when you would have joined Sisters in Crime if for no other reason than to not alienate other women in it?
Yeah, see, but that did go through my mind, too, because when I first understood I wasn't going to do it, it scared me silly. But I thought, wait a minute, these people don't have any power over me, and I'm not going to do things in my life anymore just because of the way it looks. If I don't believe it, I'm not going to do it. But I am not the only one, you know. I am not the Lone Ranger out there. There are many other women who were feeling pressured by the organization and who determined that they also did not want to join. We just haven't formed a group because we don't like groups.
Have you found that Kinsey Milhone's courage is contagious?
Yes. Often I find that I look at the world through her eyes and I think to myself, Kinsey Milhone would not be intimidated, and therefore, whether it scares me or not, I had better straighten up my act.
Sue Grafton, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.